All right, so today we're going to dig into something that I think is pretty relevant to what's been going on the last couple of years. Everybody felt the pandemic, right? Businesses especially. But we're going to talk about engine repair shops and how they weathered the storm.
Interesting.
Because aviation really took a nosedive. And so we're going to use this article from Aviation Maintenance Magazine to kind of go through and see what's been going on.
Got it.
They start off by talking about Rovinia engine parts repair, and they're just outside of Paris. And when the pandemic hit, their throughput dropped 80%.
It was a crazy time, for
Yeah.
sure. A lot of uncertainty. What's interesting is that Rovinia, they kind of took a gamble. And
Yeah.
instead of just kind of hunkering down, they actually invested in a whole new business unit during the downturn,
Wow.
expanding their repair capabilities.
So they saw it as an opportunity.
They did. It was a risk, but it seems to have paid off for them.
So what did they add? I mean, what kind of capabilities are we talking about here?
Well, they dove into some really key areas.
Yeah.
Turbine components, for one.
Okay. Those are important.
Yeah, those are vital to keeping those engines running.
Right.
They also expanded into APUs, which, if you're not familiar, those are the auxiliary power units
Right.
that keep essential systems going while the plane's on the ground.
Right.
So that's a whole other ballgame.
Right.
And then on top of that, they started doing exhaust system repairs.
Wow. So they went all in.
They went all in. And the thing is, they didn't just stop at expanding the types of repairs they could do. They actually invested heavily in new equipment.
Like what?
Robotic welding, for one,
Oh,
which is,
next level.
talk about precision.
Yeah.
They also got into plasma spraying, which, if you've ever seen it, is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It uses this superheated jet of plasma to basically coat engine parts
Okay.
with these protective layers,
Right.
makes them last longer.
Wow.
And then, they brought in a CNC milling machine,
Oh, wow.
which gives them incredible flexibility to actually create custom parts in-house.
So they were really thinking ahead.
Yeah, it's like they were gearing up for something bigger.
Yeah.
And then you contrast that with someone like Lufthansa Technik,
Okay.
which is obviously a giant in this industry. They had a different problem when things started to pick back up.
Okay.
Had a massive staffing shortage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not unique to them.
Right.
The whole industry is struggling to attract and keep skilled technicians.
Yeah.
It's a real problem. What Lufthansa Technik is doing, though, is they're putting a lot of effort into apprenticeships.
Ah, okay.
So they've ramped up these programs in Frankfurt and Hamburg. It's really interesting, actually,
Yeah.
to see them invest in the future of their workforce this way.
Right, because you don't always know where that workforce is going to come from.
Exactly. It's a specialized field. You got to train them up right.
Yeah.
Got to get them while they're young.
It's almost like a dance, isn't it?
It really is. You've got collaboration on one side and then this competition on the other.
Yeah.
And Rovinia, they seem to have found a way to make it work.
Okay.
Instead of butting heads with the OEMs, they've actually become a preferred subcontractor for some.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've built that trust, proven their expertise,
Sure.
and it allows them to really operate within that ecosystem.
So what about the shops that aren't in that position? The ones that don't have that kind of relationship with the OEMs?
Well, they're finding their own ways to thrive. The article talks about Lufthansa Technik,
Okay.
and they've really made a name for themselves with exhaust component repairs.
Okay.
It's interesting because OEMs, they don't always focus as much on those parts. So it
Right.
creates this space for independent shops to step in and develop their own solutions.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're almost like
The pioneers,
the
the
pioneers.
trailblazers.
Exactly. Lufthansa Technik, they become the go-to for these customized exhaust repairs. They've got these specialized welding techniques down pat. They're even manufacturing some of these parts locally.
Oh, wow.
And get this, they're doing some really cool re-engineering to make those components even more durable than the originals.
So they're not just fixing the problem, they're making it better.
They're making it better,
Oh,
exactly.
yeah.
It's all about carving out that niche and becoming the absolute best at it.
So adaptability is key.
Adaptability is huge. And one of the biggest things we're seeing is this rise of what's called used serviceable material, or USM.
USM. Okay, so that's basically taking parts from one engine
Right.
and using them in another.
Yeah.
Kind of like engine Legos.
Kind of, but it's not just any old part, right?
Right.
These things go through rigorous inspection
Yeah.
testing to make sure they meet the same standards as brand new parts.
Right.
But it's great for the environment, it keeps costs down,
Yeah.
and it's becoming increasingly common.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's also green time engines, which the article mentioned.
Yeah, green time. What is that exactly?
So think of it like pre-owned engines. but for airplanes.
Okay.
So these are engines that have been retired before they reach their full lifespan.
Okay.
Maybe because an airline is upgrading their fleet or something.
Right.
These green time engines, though, they still have a lot of life left.
Okay.
So they get inspected, refurbished if they need to be.
Yeah.
And then they're leased or sold to other airlines.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the pandemic actually sped up some of these existing trends in the industry.
Yeah.
Like this whole idea of shorter engine life cycles.
It definitely accelerated things. The article uses magnetic engines as a case study.
Okay.
And they're seeing airlines moving away from that old model of trying to squeeze 7 to 10 years out of an engine.
Right.
Now it's more like 3 to 6 years or 5,000 to 7,000 flight cycles.
Wow, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference.
So what's driving that?
Well, for one, technology has advanced so rapidly.
Yeah.
Newer engines are just more efficient, more reliable.
Right.
They save airlines a ton of money on fuel.
Yeah.
And then you've got the growth of low-cost carriers.
Yeah.
The constant pressure to keep those ticket prices low.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense for airlines to lease or buy these newer, more fuel-efficient engines,
right,
rather than sinking money into major overhauls for older models.
So are these repair shops even equipped to handle this, like, faster life cycle? What does it even mean for them?
It's a whole different ballgame now. They've got shorter planning times. There's a bigger need for parts to be readily available.
Makes sense.
And even the types of repairs.
Yeah.
Like what they prioritize is changing. It's all about speed and efficiency now.
Yeah. It's like, I think about my car, you know? Like it used to be you'd keep a car for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd fix whatever went wrong. Now it's like.
Right. If it needs a major repair.
Yeah.
Might as well just get a new one.
It's almost disposable.
Almost. And this whole thing about shorter life cycles.
Yeah.
It even impacts how they deal with those unplanned repairs. So let's say something goes wrong mid-flight. It used to be they just automatically fix it. Now, it's all about the cost-benefit analysis.
Right. Does it even make sense to fix it?
Exactly. They're looking at the engine like, okay, how many more cycles can we squeeze out of this thing before it's headed for retirement anyway?
So it's not even about keeping it running perfectly anymore.
It's about that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Between performance and cost-effectiveness within that shorter lifespan.
Wow. So magnetic engine.
Yeah.
They're actually doing something pretty interesting to adapt to this, right?
Yeah, they're ahead of the curve on this one.
Right.
They basically doubled the size of their facility in Tallinn, Estonia.
Wow.
Specifically to handle this surge in demand for these really quick turnaround repairs and checkups.
Wow, that's incredible.
They know what's up. They're ready.
That's amazing.
For this whole new world.
So really what it comes down to is that these shops need to be flexible.
Flexibility is huge.
Like they have to be ready for anything.
They got to be agile, innovative.
Right.
And you got to be ready to change course at a moment's notice.
Because the industry is not slowing down.
Not even a little bit. And, you know, it's always been about precision in this field.
Right.
Technical expertise.
Yeah.
But now you're adding in these layers of business savvy.
Right.
Strategic partnerships.
Wow.
You really have to understand how the whole world is shifting.
It's incredible how these global trends really impact what we see, even with the planes in the air.
It really is.
So to kind of wrap up here, it sounds like engine repair shops,
yeah,
they went through the ringer with this pandemic.
For sure.
But the ones that came out on top were the ones that embraced the changes, right?
Absolutely. They diversified their skills, they adopted new technology, and they really just rolled with the punches.
It makes you wonder about the future, though.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about shorter life cycles, constant upgrades. Is that really sustainable long term?
That's the million-dollar question.
It's for the environment, for the industry.
The economics of it all.
It's fascinating. It's a lot to think about.
It is.
Yeah.
It makes you appreciate all that goes on behind the scenes to keep those planes in the air.
Well said. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate your insights, as always. And to our listeners out there,
safe travels.
Safe travels. We'll see you in the next one.